Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get 1 pound packs of flavorful Private Selection Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $5.99 each. Then get select varieties of Lay's or Kettle Cooked potato chips for $1.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, good morning. Obviously, it's not Aaron Flint. This is Denny Reberg, former state representative, lieutenant governor, and congressman for 12 years, representing the state of Montana. Aaron has asked me to fill in on his show this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So from 6 until 10 a.m., you'll be hearing from me. Expect things to go wrong because usually something will happen. And some kind of a disaster. So bear with us if you call in and I cut you off. Sorry. We'll try it again later. Today, the first guy I've got in is, what's his name? Jake Eaton, my campaign manager from 2012. He was campaign manager for who this time, Jake?
Quite a few. We had Governor Gianforte, Attorney General Knudsen, and now superintendent-elect Susie Hedlund.
So you were successful in three campaigns.
Yeah, so we went 3 for 3 on the statewide level this year.
So what happened to me in 2012 when I was defeated by John Tester? That's one of the things I've always wanted to create, a contrast of philosophies between myself and candidates. So I probably had a safe lieutenant governor seat with Mark Roscoe, chose instead to run against Max Baucus to create that contrast, lost. I came back, ran for Congress, served 12 years, and then decided I wanted to create the same contrast with John Tester, gave up my House seat, and Jake was my campaign manager. What happened?
Well, unfortunately for us, John Tester ran a much better race in 2012 than he ran in 2024, but I also think the environment was a lot different. You know, people, there was still a lot less acrimony, and which is saying something because there was a lot of acrimony in 2012. But, you know, I think that notion of ticket splitting, kind of that independent Montana spirit, you know, still existed back then. Whereas today, I think we look at it and most everybody, you know, that pool of people who might, you know, vote Republican in some races and Democrats in others, it's just shrinking by the day. And a lot of that has to do with just the impacts of our national politics on Montana. And you've got more people that are just putting on a jersey saying, you know what, that's my team, and that's who I'm going to be with. And I mean, you kind of look at this year for Montana Democrats, and it's just a story of a failed message delivered by failed messengers, right?
I mean, well, let's talk a little bit about message, because I went into the Billings Gazette a few months ago, and they normally had 400 people there. There were 40. There is no Mike Dennison anymore in the Great Falls Tribune. There's no more Chuck Johnson with Lee Enterprises, other than radio and a lot of TV ads. But the radio, how do people get their information? Do the newspapers have any influence at all?
Less and less every day. And part of that is because they've failed to adapt to a changing business model. And part of it is because they've got in the bag for the other side. And you have a lot of people rejecting their choice on how they're going to cover things, what they're going to cover. And so the environment has just become much more dispersed than it used to be.
Okay. Well, the listener can't hear the music, but we can, and we're going to a break right now. Come back after the break, please.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the region for today, high temperature readings will stay in the upper 40s. For tonight, we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies, low temperatures in the upper 20s to around 30, and continued mild for Tuesday with more sunshine on the way, with highs in the upper 40s to lower 50s. Clear to partly cloudy Tuesday night with lows into the upper 20s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
Securing America.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott and incoming Trump border czar Tom Homan visited Texas National Guard troops along the southern border Tuesday. Governor Abbott telling the troops why their efforts are so important.
For Texas and for our country to remain sovereign, free, and safe.
Homan says Texas's efforts are a model to protect against the effects of the illegal migrant surge over the last several years.
600% increase in sex trafficking. Fentanyl coming across the border to kill 250,000 Americans. Record number of people on terrorist watch lists crossing the border.
And he warned that President Trump's plans will be carried out, regardless of those who may oppose them.
Let me be clear. There is going to be a mass deportation because we just finished a mass illegal immigration crisis on the border.
Homan saying the bottom line is
the nation wants a safe country.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, if you guys are traveling for the holidays, you are going to want to download the Montana Talks app. We've got several great conversations that we had over the past few days. Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA in Montana, talking about a real-life Breaking Bad case right here in Montana, meth dealing on the Crow Reservation and more. Plus, Attorney General Austin Knutson sounded off after Canada wanted to spy on gun shows in Montana. Full audio, Montana Talks app.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, good morning, Montana. This is Denny Reber, former U.S. Congressman, the state of Montana, filling in for Aaron Flint this week. He decided to travel with his wife. I know. Usually it's the other way around. Jake, you were over in the Middle East. When did you go over there?
Just about 20 years ago. And actually, Flint and I both joined up about the same time when we were just we young lads over in Missoula. We signed up about 6 weeks apart.
Well, you didn't waste any time. You got married, have three lovely daughters. How did things go and giving go with the three?
Pretty uneventful at our house, fortunately. We dodged any major catastrophes. So
we woke up this morning to a pardon on behalf of Hunter Biden by his dad. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of people who kind of have mixed feelings on this, right? But I think it comes down to one thing. It's easy to say, look, hey, I get it. You know, guy, he's obviously in the final years of his life. Looking out for his son and can be a little empathetic towards the situation. But the reality is, President Biden promised the American people that he would not do this. His administration, every time, some reporter, brought it up in the press briefings, they went apoplectic, just denying. How could you ever even say or imply that he would do such a thing? You know, and they put on this charade for people during the election that, oh, there's no way he would even consider this. And then here we are, not, what, 3 weeks after the election, and he issues a pardon.
Is there any doubt of whose cocaine that was in the water in the White House? You know, one of the things I think the people of America want is transparency. And so there's a lot of things that happened during the Biden administration that, on the one hand, you don't want to get bogged down in the past. On the other hand, there's a lot of questions that are out there. Are we going to start seeing some of that, or do you think?
Well, I think so. I think some of these cabinet picks that President Trump is making are exactly the kind of people that hold those same opinions that you're talking about, to say, look, the American people are losing faith in our institutions. And it's not because of anything that the American people have done. It's because of what is happening inside these institutions. I mean, you go back to even to 2016 and, you look at, some of the stuff that was going on in the FBI, whether it was in the Hillary Clinton investigation before the election or, the Russia hoax after the election. Like, people are afraid of the swamp. People have a negative opinion of you know, government bureaucratic institutions. And it's well-deserved bad opinion that people have of them. I mean, you look at, some of the misdeeds and some of the things that have been done, especially under this administration. I mean, Montanan, by way of she worked for Steve Bullock and John Tester, Tracy Stone Manning, who was running the BLM, just took a job to run one of the most extreme environmental groups in the country. And that was announced 2 days after it was announced that they were ending federal coal leases in Montana, right? I mean,
that almost brings us into term limits. Where are you? I mean, John Tester was term limited.
Yeah.
I self-term limited because I quit after 4 years of lieutenant governor and 12 years of Congress and 6 years in the state legislature. I self-limited, and yet the bureaucrats don't. Where do you come down on term limits?
I mean, I'm a firm believer in term limits for bureaucrats. I think we have term limits for politicians. They're called elections. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, there's advantages to incumbency and some of those kind of things. And, to a large extent, that's true. But, this year's a great example. I mean, in John Tester, 18-year incumbent, who lost to a guy running for office for the very first time, despite having $85 million. So I think we have a system that works great for elected officials. But I think, the notion that someone can get a job with the government and be there for life, regardless of what they do, regardless of whether they follow the directives of their superiors, of the elected officials, or the appointed officials chosen to run those agencies, is a real problem.
Now, the only problem with you is you're a grizzly, not a bobcat. Bureaucrat on the brain. Of course, I'm a bobcat. I have to pick on you there.
Yeah.
But you've been around a long time. You were a college Republican at the University of Montana. That's kind of where you got your start.
Yeah.
I believe you're from Miles City originally. So yeah. You went all the way from Miles City to Missoula when you could have stopped in Bozeman. that being said, there is a pendulum. The grizzly were always good, the bobcats were always bad, now it's the opposite.
Yeah.
In politics, the Republicans are kind of in control in Montana, the Democrats are not. Do you believe in the pendulum where we're in one way and if we're not careful, we'll go the other?
I think we definitely are, and you and I were there back in 2006 when we had you. That was it. Everybody else had lost.
Yeah.
The work that went back through to reshape the Republican Party in Montana took a long time. A lot of folks just getting involved today think, Montana, it's just because it's gone Republican at the presidential level, consistently, Montana's always been a Republican state. And that's just not the case. I mean, that's a relatively new invention. I mean, right now with Tim Sheehy serving alongside Steve Daines is the first time Montana's had two Republican senators in over 100 years. The pendulum in Montana has definitely swung, and I think a lot of that is based upon what the Democrats have done both at the national and state level.
Yeah. Well, Jack, I always appreciate having you in the studio. This is my first time, so I can say I always appreciate it because you haven't been in the studio with me before, but thanks for coming. I assume you've already picked out the candidates of the future. You're thinking ahead. You always do. You've got a great printing operation here in the city of Billings. You do our printing, and we look forward to working with you for many years to come. Thank you, Jake.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
You need money very badly and have little collateral to secure a bank loan. I lend you money anyway and charge you a 20% interest rate. Many of us are perfectly comfortable making that kind of transaction illegal. There's a long history of doing so. In fact, there was a time centuries ago when any kind of money lending for interest was illegal. The urge to bring the hammer of law down on commercial transactions we don't like is a strong one. If we're all done by votes, we might outlaw trucks on city streets, chemicals transported on trains, candy bars, and cigarettes. Obviously, some of those are outlawed, or at least restricted in some places, which makes my point. But before we stretch this list to include even more unfavored industries, be they vacation rentals or scalping sports tickets, let me pose a question. Does the power of democracy extend to removing one's livelihood, especially if the product or service is bought and sold in full knowledge of what they are and what they'll cost? I'm Patrick Bucky.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. The Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, it's often considered one of the biggest party nights of the year because so many people have the next day off. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration offers these facts on drinking and driving. In 2022, 100 drivers were involved in fatal traffic crashes on Thanksgiving Eve, and 35% of those were drunk. From 2018 to 2022, more than 800 people were killed in drunk driving crashes over the Thanksgiving holiday period. NHTSA has a few tips to make sure you get home safely. Make a plan and schedule a ride or ride share in advance, or call a taxi. Call a sober friend to get you. Join the masses and ride public transportation. If you see a friend who you think is drunk and getting ready to drive home, take their keys. And a final tip, always wear a seatbelt, no matter what time of year or holiday season it is. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Nordblond. As previously reported, this past Friday, USDA's Animal Plant and Health Inspection Service announced that a New World screwworm was detected in southern Mexico. That caused USDA to temporarily pause live cattle imports from Mexico to the U.S. for fears of screwworm infections. Dr. Burke Healy with USDA APHIS shares more on the details.
The one infection that they found was a lot of 100 head that were moving north and were stopped at the checkpoint. There was one animal in that lot that was identified with screwworm infestation. They treated the entire lot of 100 head of animals and returned them to their farm of origin in southern Mexico. But that is the only case that they've identified so far. And so obviously they're in the neighborhood, going around to each of the farms with information, education, and inspections taking place in that area, in that region, to see if there's any additional cases that have taken place. And subsequent to that, we started releasing flies in that region so that if there were other cases there, or those larvae hatch out and survive, that didn't get taken out in the, you know, and killed in the treatment process, we would be able to mitigate that exposure at that point. So right now, it's just the one situation in southern Mexico.
Screwworm infections were eradicated in the United States in the 1960s, but they remain prevalent in parts of Central and South America. Dr. Healy says the U.S. and Mexico are working hand-in-hand on the screwworm situation.
Mexico has put in a robust system. They got multiple checkpoints that protect their southern border that utilized to find this particular case. We're confident in their system and, again, working hand-in-hand with them to come up with a protocol to reestablish trade, as well as to work on that southern end of Mexico to try to establish a barrier down there and work to push the fly out of the country.
Screwworm was found in South Mexico near the border with Guatemala.
Hello, I'm Clayton Lohr, Vice President of the Montana Grain Growers Association, and this year's chair for our annual convention. I want to personally invite you to join us at our 69th annual convention and trade show. We'll fill the Pacific Steel and Recycling Arena December 3rd to the 5th. It will be three full days of motivation, education, and collaboration. Farmers from across the state will gather, share their insights, and talk farm policy. We look forward to seeing you at the Montana Grain Growers Annual Convention.
Looking for unbeatable deals on used equipment? Look no further than C&B, your local John Deere dealer of choice. Right now in our clearance center, we've got a 2022 John Deere Windrower 260R equipped with a 4600 Command Center Auto Track activation with a 6000 receiver. Now clearance at just $165,000. Want to see more clearance equipment? Then head to C&B today or visit DeereEquipment.com/clearance to see the full details on this unit and more. But don't wait. This unit won't last long.
The Cattle Feeder Hall of Fame class of 2025 has been announced. Inductees this year include Joe Morgan with Pokey Feeders in Scott City, Kansas, Dan May with 4M Feeders in Stratton, Colorado, along with Tom Jensen of Nebraska, receiving the Industry Leadership Award for his decades of banking experience and service to the cattle industry, along with George Frank Luttrell Jr. with Midwest Feeders in Kansas, receiving the Arturo Armendariz Distinguished Service Award. Established in 2009, the 16th annual banquet will take place on February 5th during CattleCon 2025 in San Antonio, Texas. That's a look at our news for the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Nordblond.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, good morning, Montana. This is Denny Reberg. I'm filling in for Aaron Flint, former U.S. Congressman, Lieutenant Governor, State Legislator, and I have a really special guest this morning, a friend of mine who comes from a farm and ranch in Park City, Montana, but he served in the Montana House in 95 to 2001 in the Montana State Senate, 2003 to 2009, and he was the president of the Senate. He knows things all taxation. When he was the president of the Senate, that's the equivalent of somebody like a Stan Stevens, but he's now the head of the Montana Taxpayers Association, and that's kind of an issue in Montana right now. Bob, welcome. Good to have you.
Well, thanks for having me, Denny.
Well, tell us a little bit about taxes from your perspective. You're reading a lot about it. People are upset. They want to know, are their taxes going to go up? Why are they going up? And what can be done about it in the Montana legislature? And you're representing the taxpayers of Montana.
Well, thanks. Yeah, property taxes especially are a big issue and have been for the last, well, as long as I've ever been involved and probably as long as you've ever been involved in politics. But yeah, the last 2 years ago, the huge increase in values of homes and another probably 20% increase coming on with this reappraisal cycle, it goes into effect next year. So homeowners have been wondering why their taxes went up and if someone's going to do something about it. And so there'll be a lot of proposals in this upcoming session of how to deal with, especially residential property tax, issues, as well as other issues like business equipment and income tax and taxing commercial property and those types of things. So there'll be, it'll be an active session in the property tax arena.
A lot of it is because of those that are moving in. We wouldn't be having this problem. It's a good thing. We like to invite new residents of Montana, but because of people watching Yellowstone on TV, it seems they're coming to the state, and it's thrown us into turmoil. Have you looked over the governor's plan?
Yeah, I've looked at it and other plans. You know, you're right that people come into Montana, you know, our population grew a lot in the last several years since the COVID issue, and that, of course, got us a second congressman back, something that's never happened before in the United States, of a state growing fast enough to recover a congressman after they've lost one. But
you bet.
So yeah, the issue is that there's more demand for houses than there are houses, and even though you folks around Billings know, there's been a lot of construction and of a.
I didn't push the button in time. I'm a neophyte. This is my first time at the board, and I have a great respect for Aaron Flint now that I've sat here and looked at this thing. So I apologize for cutting you off. What do you see going forward beyond property taxes? Where's Montana? You know, of course, we don't have a sales tax. We're pretty proud of that fact. We have in our constitutional limit if we ever get one. But where do you see taxes right now?
Well, the big issue, I guess, outside of property taxes is the governor has a proposal to lower the top tax rate on income tax from 5.9% down to 4.9%, try to keep us in the realm of what surrounding states are doing. You know, those states that have an income tax, Idaho, Utah, and the like, have been lowering their income tax rates every time they meet. And so he's proposing to do that also, which will affect most Montanans. You know, most Montanans pay the top income tax rate on at least a portion of their income, so that will be a reduction. Looking at increasing the exemption on the business, the governor's proposing to increase the exemption of business equipment that's taxable from $1 million to $3 million. So a lot of medium-sized businesses will no longer be paying taxes on their equipment either. So
you're bringing back a lot of history to me. Bob, because I was the first one that carried it in the Montana House of Representatives to lower the personal property tax on small business. And that was way back in the 80s. And they've continually lowered it, clearly understanding that business taxes are a detriment to doing business in Montana. You actually make more money by lowering taxes. I think you've heard people at the federal level talking about cutting capital gains tax. And one side says you're doing nothing but giving tax breaks to the rich, and the other side says that by lowering the capital gains tax, you're in fact going to stimulate the economy. Do you believe in that? And what's going on, you know, as far as business encouragement in Montana?
I think most folks who are of a conservative bent figure that money left in the taxpayers' hands is better spent than money in the government's hands, and we agree with that assessment that once you meet some of the basic services that are required. And so, yeah, Montana's a small business state, and most of the businesses are small. We do have probably 200 or 300 fairly large businesses, large employers that, you know, you need to be cognizant of also, and not disadvantage them because you lower the taxes on small businesses and raise the taxes on large businesses, which sometimes tends to happen, as you know, in the property tax system. It's kind of a one-size balloon, and when one part gets smaller, another part's got to get bigger.
Well, I hear our music kicking on, meaning we're going to a break. Real quickly, this is Bob Story, former president of the Montana State Senate, state representative, and currently representing the Montana Taxpayers Association. Bob, thanks for joining us.
There's a raging debate in America over social media, especially for younger people, both the good side and the toxic side, as many people abandon X, these are liberals who don't like Elon Musk, for new outlets like Blue Sky. But Australia is not kidding around. Australia has passed and will be signed by the Prime Minister a bipartisan bill that will ban anyone under 16 from using social media, period. Now, the underage users are not going to be punished. Their parents are not going to be punished. But corporations that don't make reasonable efforts to enforce this ban could well be facing hefty fines. And they know that some kids will get around the ban, but they say it's important to send a message to these social media companies to clean up their act. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information, or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Good morning, Montana. This is former Congressman Denny Reber, Lieutenant Governor, State Legislator, filling in for boss Aaron Flint on the radio today. He took a little time to travel with his wife and wish him well. I have on the air with me a friend of mine by the name of Tom Birmingham. Tom is the was the former general manager of Westlands Water District in the San Joaquin, California, which is the largest irrigation district in the history of the nation, around 600,000 acres. Welcome, Tom. Good to have you on the air with me. Okay, Tom, you there? Okay. Tom? Well, I've done something wrong with the board here. I'm filling in for Aaron Flint, and he's on vacation with his wife at a meeting in out of the country. Tom, are you joining us yet? Okay, Tom, are you there? Well, I got a guy standing here pushing buttons, and obviously I'm doing something wrong. Tom, are you there? Still no Tom. And we have a new producer helping me, and we were going to talk about the Westlands Water District in San Joaquin, California. They have 600,000 acres under irrigation, and as you can imagine, there are a lot of farmers and ranchers who are at risk down there because of an Endangered Species Act. There's a Delta smelt, and I refer to it as a ugly fish, that's Latin, and we've been fighting keeping the water in agriculture as opposed to flushing it out into the Bay of San Francisco, again, an endangered species issue. So we were successful in one of the last Congresses to get it passed. As you can imagine, it's important who your senators are. And that time we had two Democrat senators, Kamala Harris and Dianne Feinstein, and Dianne was willing to work with us. It was a hard slog. She saw the necessity not to hurt the people, especially during COVID, but other times. There are a lot of minorities within this irrigation district. Again, it's the largest irrigation district in the country. So we were successful in getting that legislation passed. Tom, are you there? Still no Tom. All right. Tom, are you there? Still no Tom. All right. Well, we're learning a lesson here on KBUL. We'll have an opportunity for you to call in and ask questions. We have quite a schedule put together for you today. I've got Kyle Austin coming on next, and Kyle is pharmacist in town. He ran for the United States Congress. Actually, he was one of my opponents, but he's my pharmacist as well, and I wanted him to talk a little bit about Big Pharma. I'm going to have Evan Wilson call in. He's Mr. Numbers. He used to work for me, but he's probably the brightest guy out there that can tell you what happened as far as the last legislature, how the nation has changed, what's going on. Pretty exciting. Later on, I have Mayor Bill Cole coming up to speak about housing shortages, the things that are going on in the cities around the state of Montana. Later on in the day, I have my former deputy chief of staff in Congress, Kristen Smith, who also did all my appropriations work, and I've asked her to speak specifically to the crypto industry because she now is the head of the crypto association in the nation. Most of the members of the crypto industry are a member of her association, and
If you're like me, I don't get it. I don't understand it. So we'll do the best we can to have Kristen explain the crypto industry. She also handled my appropriations. I was the subcommittee chairman in appropriations of labor, health and human services, and education. Those were the departments. The budget was about $658 billion a year, so I was responsible for the spending of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, Obamacare, Department of Education, Department of Labor, within Department of Education, obviously, Pell Grants, Department of Labor with things like job service and such. And again, I chaired that committee, and she was my staff member on that committee. So we have a pretty good lineup of people for you to talk to today. You can always access the app, the KBUL app. Our phone number is area code 406-294-0970. I'm not sure we're going to be able to take calls because we haven't really figured out the board yet. Later on this afternoon, I'm going to have a fellow by the name of Will Trockman on. And Will represents the Mountain States Legal Foundation. And we'll see if we can try Tom Birmingham again. Tom, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Tom. Sorry it took us so long. As you know, this is my first time at the board. I'm filling in for Aaron Flint. And,
hello.
Not everything is going as well as it should right now. So I can hear you. You can't hear me. And I don't know why. So we'll just let Caden, the producer, continue to play with the board, see if he can figure out why you can't hear me. Will Trockman is going to be speaking to us this afternoon. Will represents the Mountain States Legal Foundation. The foundation is free to the cases that they take on. I think you'll find it fascinating. They do take contributions to keep them alive, but the cases they take are gratis. They look for the downtrodden or those that can't afford the lawsuit. And he has quite a bit of lawsuits in Montana, although they're out of Denver and they have cases all the way from Texas and Arizona up to Montana that I think you'll find interesting. And I have another one of his organization on the air tomorrow to talk about guns. Again, it's the Mountain States Legal Foundation. They, too, take contributions because the legal services they provide for the lawsuits they take on do not cost the person that's that they're representing. So I think you'll find that to be a particularly interesting interview. I'm also this afternoon interviewing Jeff Miller, interesting fellow, Jeff, former congressman. He represented the district that Joe Scarborough vacated. As you know, Joe's a fairly liberal Democrat now. He was a Republican. And he's on MSNBC and not doing very well politically or philosophically right this minute. But Jeff also represented the district. The fellow that replaced him was Matt Gaetz. So you went all the way from Joe Scarborough to Matt Gaetz. So that's kind of the day we've got going, and looking forward to maybe fixing this board and hopefully having some guests being able to talk to you. Please join us.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The Democratic Party has become radicalized. It has become extreme. Really, sex change operations, taxpayer funded for illegal immigrants, and a pathway to citizenship, amnesty, and no consequences for not abiding by our laws, border sovereignty. It's insane. The Democratic Party is now the party of coastal elites. They represent Hollywood, San Francisco, D.C., New York, and Chicago. The Republican Party has become the party of hardworking men and women that believe in liberty and freedom and are tired of everything being shoved down our throat, from what we drink to what we drive to the refrigerators we use.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings, they are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% off site-wide, plus score premium doorbusters and get a free professional measure. Now, don't wait. These deals are happening right now when you go to Blinds.com. You know, swapping out old blinds for brand new custom window coverings, it's a small project. It has big results. And Blinds.com, they make it simple. They make it easy. They make it affordable. Here's the bottom line. Blinds.com, they make it a better way to buy custom window treatments. You don't have pushy commission salespeople. You don't have to wait around all day for a quote. I'm telling you, my years of experience with Blinds.com, it is so easy and so simple and has such a dramatic impact on any room or every room in your house. Blinds.com has their Black Friday sale. It's happening right now with the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and you get a free professional measure only for a limited time when you go to Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the region for today. High temperature readings will stay in the upper 40s. For tonight, we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies, low temperatures in the upper 20s to around 30, and continued mild for Tuesday with more sunshine on the way, with highs in the upper 40s to lower 50s. Clear to partly cloudy Tuesday night with lows into the upper 20s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, if you guys are traveling for the holidays, you are going to want to download the Montana Talks app. We've got several great conversations that we had over the past few days. Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA in Montana, talking about a real-life Breaking Bad case right here in Montana, meth dealing on the Crow Reservation and more. Plus, Attorney General Austin Knutson sounded off after Canada wanted to spy on
holiday-nights.com. See you at the zoo.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, this is Jenny Reberg, former congressman, state of Montana, filling in for Aaron Flint this week on KBUL. You can join us through the app if you have a comment. We do have a phone number, although we're having some technical difficulties, 406-294-0970. My next guest is Kyle Austin. Kyle's an interesting fellow. He owns Farm 406, which is a pharmacy here in the Billings, Montana. The people around Eastern Montana should have gotten to know Kyle over the course of a few years. He ran for Congress. In fact, he was one of my opponents, but he's also my pharmacist. And I've invited Kyle on the air today to talk a little bit about pharmacy and Big Pharma. Kyle, are you there? Kyle is not there. So once again, we're having some difficulty with the board. You have no idea how complicated this is looking at this board. I have a great respect for Aaron Flint as far as the things that he's been able to accomplish. He makes it seem so seamless, and I really appreciate the fact that he invited me. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty. We have a new producer, and we're pushing buttons and hoping it all works, and it is not. You know, one of the problems with the pharmaceutical industry is it's very expensive. I think people know that. You're seeing a lot of advertising going if you want to change your pharmaceutical coverage now. Medicare is advertising heavily, whether it's Humana or other companies. And there's a lot of confusion as to what's available or not. When I was the congressman, I chaired what was called Labor H Appropriations, which is the Department of Labor, Department of Health and Human Services, and Education. So my budget that I was chairman of was a little over $400 billion a year. A lot of that I didn't have any responsibility for. It was Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare. A lot of those are baked into permanent programs.
They're called entitlements. So of that over $400 billion, I only had responsibility of moving about $155 billion a year around. I could move it within the three departments. One of the things that we found was that Pell Grants were kind of taking over the Department of Education. I know there's a big argument back in Washington right now under the Trump administration as to whether the Department of Education is going to exist in the future or not. But a large percentage of the labor age appropriations bill is within the Department of Education. They're going to have to make that determination. But as far as the pharmaceutical is concerned, I'll always remember Hillarygate, Hillarycare, which was the precursor to Obamacare. And First Lady Hillary Clinton was talking about making that program an entitlement. And it unfortunately sucked up a lot of the money that was going to various pharmaceutical companies to do their research for new drugs, for new protocol. And so there's a balance you have to have where you have a pharmaceutical company that you don't want them to gouge people. You don't want them to make excessive profits. But at the same time, you have to clearly understand that a lot of the pharmaceutical issues that exist in America today, the projects and programs that are available to us as citizens are as a result of some of their research that is being done. So there's a balance, and we have to hope that the best people back there are dealing with that. So hopefully we're going to be able to get Kyle Austin from 406 on after our next break, and we'll give it the best go that we possibly can. Again, Denny Reberg filling in for Aaron Flint. Thanks for your time and listening to us.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh yeah, seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is, like, busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.